He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Friday. It's the Black Friday. Is the market on sale today? This is Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. We have a mixed open to the market today. I got to imagine it's going to be pretty light volume in the market today. The NASDAQ's down 15 points right now to 14,251. The Dow, on the other hand, is up 101, which puts it at 35,374. You have the S&P 500 up 2 points, 4,558. The small caps are up a third of a percent. Crude oil down 41 cents to 79.69. Gold's had a little bit of lift here recently. Gold is at $2,002 per ounce. It's up $9 per ounce today. Silver's up 50 cents. That's a big move. That's a 2.1% move out of silver. Silver's at $24.19. And there is a sell-off in the bond market today. 6 basis points. The bond market, the 10-year goes up 6 basis points to 4.47%. And, of course, a lot of drama coming out of Israel today. I just listened to the crossing of the border of 13 hostages plus, I think, 13 Israeli hostages and 12 from Thailand. So a lot of drama there. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson on this Black Friday. And I'm here with Barry Keit, our chartered financial analyst, and it's going to be a quiet day. There's no question about that. But the market is trading, and there are stocks moving, not much one way or another. And we have opened to a split market. I guess the bad news that I see is a sell-off in the bond market, and interest rates up 6 basis points. Now, when we left off on Wednesday, okay, does everybody remember Wednesday?
I was trying to think back.
Yeah, I think it was a pretty quiet day. I got to look it up here on Wednesday. No, the Dow was up 185 on Wednesday.
Wasn't a bad day.
The NASDAQ was up 66. That was the day after NVIDIA's report. Let's just check in on NVIDIA here today because it sold off the day after the report, and it's down again today. It's down $4.62. NVIDIA is at $482 per share. Its all-time high is $505. So you're down about $23, 4.5% or so from its all-time high. They did have those blowout earnings. A triple 300% increase in sales, but the guidance was just a little bit not as spectacular as expected, and that was the big story back on Wednesday.
And a bit of softness today. I guess they announced that they're going to be delaying some of the shipments of those toned down AI chips to China until I guess they'll be there in the first quarter.
Yes. Okay, and so that's where we ended off on Friday. Interest rates seem to be the big story today. If you're looking for a big story in the market, the 10-year is up to 4.49 right now. And that always impacts the NASDAQ. It impacts ARK funds. It impacts the tech stocks, the growth stocks, the higher PE stocks. As I mentioned, we have a pause. We have a ceasefire. I know 15 minutes past the deadline, there was a rocket fired from Gaza. So somebody's clock was off, or maybe they're still on daylight savings time. I don't know. But there was one violation already of that ceasefire. 4 days of ceasefire, 13 hostages to be released every day, plus those that are not Israelis. So today I think it was 12 from Thailand that I think were at the festival, the music festival. And the 13 today are mostly children. We haven't gotten any details on that, but several of them had multiple shot wounds, untreated basically, which just is sickening. Very, very difficult after spending time with my grandchildren, some of my grandchildren yesterday. We've had some elections here recently that have definitely tilted away from, I guess, the left, from socialism. Yeah. Netherlands.
The Netherlands. That's a big story. One. Yeah.
You remember when they started cracking down on the farmers? That was kind of a bridge too far there.
And they revolted, basically.
Yes, they had a big revolt, and the people were angry, you know, claiming that farming was bad for the environment. I mean, that gets a little bit extreme when you start talking about that. So Geert Wilders, who's considered the Donald Trump of the Netherlands, he won the election over there. So you have a big shift to the right. He runs what's called the Freedom Party
and doubled his seats. I think it went from like 17 to 34, and then it gets confusing with me sometimes when we had to form a coalition government, right? So he's got to get a few people on his side, but in a very, very powerful situation.
And apparently,
becoming prime minister, potentially.
Holland has taken in a lot of refugees, especially Muslimist refugees. He's proposed slashing immigration, shutting down mosques, and banning the Quran, which is pretty strong. He moderated his stance in the final weeks of his campaign, vowing to be a prime minister for the Dutch people. But reining in immigration has been a major issue all throughout Europe, and especially in the Netherlands. And I also think that, you know, this business of shutting down the farms, which, you know, that's bread and butter backbone of the Netherlands, along with many other things. The Netherlands actually has some very good companies, such as Novo Nordisk is
ASML,
Denmark, right?
Yeah, ASML.
ASM Lithography and some others.
The biggest stock in the Eurozone, ASML.
But they have a cost of living crisis, housing shortages, limited access to affordable health care, and its economy slipped into a technical recession in Q2, which is dragged into Q3. Well, there's big news on the AI front here. You know, when they let him go, and of course now he's back again, Sam Altman, they said that he was being less than candid about certain issues. Well, wait till you hear what he was being less than candid about, and basically the reason that he was fired. But before we get to that, Bill Gates says AI could make the 3-day work week possible, Barry. We only got to do the show for 3 days. I only have to manage money for 3 days because AI can do the rest.
Does everybody get paid for 5? How does that work?
And, of course, Bill Gates is a big, big engine behind artificial intelligence because it's Microsoft that came out with the ChatGPT. It's Microsoft that has invested heavily into open AI, billions and billions of dollars.
And they have the data warehouses to actually run the calculations through. Because not only do you have to have the chips, you got to have the capacity in terms of the in terms of kind of that Azure business that they have.
Well, Bill Gates says that you eventually get a society where you only have 3 days of work in the week. He says that's probably okay, adding that there could come a day when people may not have to work so hard just to make ends meet. Well, what do they do the other 4 days? You know, get in trouble? I don't know. Or do they work at home? I don't think AI's impact will be as dramatic as the Industrial Revolution, but it certainly will be as big as the introduction of the PC, says Bill Gates. Word processing applications didn't do away with office work, but they changed it forever. So he's using the example of Word and whatnot. My mother, she was a stenographer at one time in her life. You know how they sit in the courtroom and can...
Right, yeah.
She knew that language. And, you know, how far it has come since those days. wow, to what we have now, where artificial intelligence can basically write your story. So anyways, I got to believe that there will be a lot of disruption. A lot of disruption in certain industries, just like, you know, the horse and buggy when the Ford revolution, the car revolution came along. Just one thing right after another. And this could be the next big wave of changing jobs forever. But is there danger here? You'll be shocked when you hear why Altman was fired from his job and what he was being less candid about. Well, it makes me want to search a little bit deeper into the dark side of artificial intelligence. More on that on this Black Friday. It's the Best Stocks Now show. Welcome back here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show, where we currently have the market. Let's get an update there. About the same. NASDAQ down 28, Dow up 107. Okay, Sam Altman. Now, that caught my eye when they said he was being less than candid about something. I mean, it led to his dismissal that day. Well, according to Reuters, researchers at OpenAI that, were part of his colleagues in a letter had warned the board of directors. Now, remember, it was the board of directors that let Altman go of a powerful AI discovery that they said could potentially threaten humanity ahead of CEO Sam Altman's ouster. That's a pretty big deal. For the board to act, they must have considered it to be an actual threat to humanity that Altman wasn't coming clean on. Well, Altman's back at work with OpenAI, Perry. So I guess the threat to humanity is still there. But anyways, apparently they were working on a project called Q-Star. And a letter to the board before before Altman's ouster. And I guess the board called Altman in before them. And apparently the breakthrough was it can now solve mathematical problems and come up with just one answer. Where in the past, you know, it's always kind of been more towards stories, writing, linguistics, etc., and coming up with several possible answers. In their letter to the board, researchers flagged AI's prowess and potential danger. And without specifying the exact safety concerns, there has been a long discussion among computer scientists about the danger posed by highly intelligent machines. For instance, that they might decide that the destruction of humanity was in their best interest. Isn't that crazy? I mean, this is just like science fiction type stuff. Or how many movies? I mean, I go back to Goldfinger, and I go really to The Wizard of Oz, where there's some person behind the curtain, right? Goldfinger was trying to. I mean, the plot of the movie was there's this group that wants to destroy the planet, and only Agent 007, right, can disarm the bomb that's going to go off in time to save the planet. That's what this reminds me of. It says, and it came from Altman. I guess he was speaking somewhere. And here's what he said. Four times in the history of OpenAI, the most recent was in the last couple of weeks, I've gotten to be in the room, this is Altman speaking, when we sort of push the veil of ignorance back and the frontier of discovery forward. And getting to do that is the professional honor of my lifetime. A day later, Altman was fired. So you could look into that. It's a story on Reuters, and it caused me. I immediately went to Amazon, looking up books on the danger of AI. We've never really examined that, Barry. I mean, exactly what could go wrong here?
Well, it's hard for and it's hard to make that jump, right? When in terms of what feasibly could occur, right? And then of course our movie brains, right? And I read a book years ago. It was actually called The Fear Index, and it was basically about a computer that wanted to basically take over the financial markets, right?
There we go,
manipulating the markets. It was tied to quantum
physics
started coming out a lot, right? And it's, but how you get from point A to point B, to me, the part that's even scarier, right, is when you hear Gates say, "Hey, 3-day work week." Well, one way to get to a 3-day work week, right, is fire 40% of the people who still have jobs, still work 5 days a week. The people who don't have their job got taken over by AI work 0 days a week, which equals to 3-day work week, by the way, on the average. I'd be more scared of those 40% of the people, right, than I would be maybe the computer personally. But
yeah.
How you get to that point, if it truly is that way, right, then there needs to be you would think that you would have a lot of security controls like right this minute on that type of stuff. I don't know.
Well, I think there's danger to the financial system of the world. If human beings almost brought it down in 08 and 09, think what computers could do. And there was a day. Not much is said about that, but I was working one day, I'm going to guess 15 years ago.
The flash crash?
Yeah, the flash crash where and all the cell stops were taken out. Everybody lost their positions wherever that. I mean, it was just plunging and there was no stopping it, right? It was down 1,000, it was down 2,000, it was down 3,000. I remember I was on the road driving somewhere. And I go, wow, what is going to happen? Where is this going to end? And I don't know that they ever did really identify the exact problem, but that was a scary day in the market.
Yeah, and you've had some, fat finger trades mess up things before too. I think there was somebody who was trading, mini S&P futures who, basically, essentially sold tons of S&P futures, and I forget which company, but somebody took a huge.
Oh yeah, huge hit.
It was like a $300 million dollar trade correction.
Let's just say a Vanguard or Fidelity, who bad. They control these institutions are 80% of the market. If one of them decided they wanted to take down the market, I think they probably could write the program. AI could figure out how to do it. Well, on a lighter note, there's some good sports on today. The holiday weekend is expected to see a sports betting record. Wow. And they're going to have a Black Friday football game tonight. That's the first time.
I thought it was tonight. I looked it up. It comes on at 3 p.m. So you got a 3 p.m. Kickoff.
The market closes at 1.
Miami and maybe the Jets. Stock market closes at 1, and then the bond market, which is the only thing that looks to be alive this morning, closes at 2. So.
Well, sports betting is a big growth industry. Sports betting downloads rose by 237% year over year. So it's all the players, Penn Entertainment, DraftKings, Flutter Entertainment, FanDuel. And then, of course, you've got Caesars and Bally's and all those. we've come a long ways where, in the dugout in the hallway where Pete Rose would enter in as the manager of the Cincinnati Reds, there was this sign in every baseball that no betting on baseball, right? Those were the days. I mean, they could call their bookie or whatnot, and now they encourage. I don't know what the rules are now for managers and players, if they're allowed to gamble. I don't think they are, but it's certainly a lot easier to get a bet down than it was in the past. All right, when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about what to look for in 2024, which is just around the corner, by the way, 5 weeks. And there's some new forecast out today. We'll be right back.
This is Bill Gunderson. Thank you for tuning in to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I put several hours of research in during the wee hours of the morning each day to bring you the very best cutting-edge stories that I can. To get 2 free weeks of my newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. To talk to us about our fee-based only money management services, call us at 855-611-BEST. Now, back to the second half of the show.
Welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, my Black Friday gift to everybody is the BestStocksNowApp.com is now up and running, the new version of it, and designed by yours truly, because I use it for my own use every single day. I totally, absolutely rely on it. And if you go to BestStocksNowApp.com, I mean, you can see, I think we have 500 stocks or something in there that are, you know, complimentary. And then if you want to subscribe to see the whole database, there's a couple subscriptions there. And, of course, you can go all the way up to the live trading model. But, okay, so I'm looking here. There are a lot of interesting things that I've added. Best 10-year performance. Okay, there's the best stocks over the last 10 years. Number one, at coming in at 62.5% per year. That's the average. If you took where this stock was 10 years ago and where it is today and applied a compound annual growth formula to it, NVIDIA, 62.5%. Number two, you'd be surprised, TopBuild. TopBuild is a company that provides insulation services to the construction industry, okay? Insulation with 230, because we know how strong the home builds. AMD is number three, 43.6. How about Invitation Homes, number four? Green Brick Partners, another home builder, number five. So the building sector has had a good, of course, they've had the wind at their back with low interest rates. Camtech, which is a chip company out of Israel, 42.8. Kirkland Lake Gold, 42. Now, I'm going to be going through here and proofreading everything. I've only found one error so far in one of the screens. Okay, now, we can look here. 5-year growth estimate. What are the fastest growing companies in the market right now? We can look at the asset class rankings every day. They're updated. What's the number one asset class right now? The NASDAQ 100. Number two is Ethereum, the Ethereum Trust. Number three, large cap dividend. Number four, silver. Number five, the U.S. small cap dividend index. How about that? Okay, let's do the top ranked stocks. Let's look at the stocks by rank. We can do it alphabetically. We can do it by rank. Okay, by rank, the number one ranked stock in the market right now, Arista Networks, A-N-E-T. How about that? We own it. Number two, Novo Nordisk.
And that one, too.
Yes. And then there's some surprises in there. Path, UiPath. How about DoorDash, number four? How big has that become? People ordering, sitting on their couch because they're only working 3 days, right, waiting for AI to blow up the planet, and ordering on DoorDash. You may as well go out with a cheeseburger, you know. Ferrari's number six. That's a surprise. That's been a great stock. I have an affinity for Ferraris. My brother, he owns several. He's a Ferrari fanatic. He does that as a hobby in his retirement years, totally restoring classic Ferraris. Man. Okay, what else do we have here? You can create a watch list. These are all things that I've wanted. You can look up what is the best mega cap stock. They're sorted by rank. I only want big. The bigger the better. Number one, Novo Nordisk. Number two, Meta Platforms. Number three, Siemens. Did you know that? And then you've got Microsoft and McDonald's, Megacaps. How about dividend pairs? What's the best dividend and growth stocks according to the artificial intelligence? And then, of course, I apply human intelligence. That I begin with artificial intelligence and then apply human intelligence. Here's sorted by dividend yields. Who are the biggest dividend yield companies? Dividend and growth stocks. What do we have there? Novo Nordisk once again, because it does pay a dividend. Then there's one called Safran, which is a foreign stock because the symbol ends in F. And then you've got Buckeye Partners, Arthur Gallagher, which is a great stock. Ares Management, a great stock. Equifax, UBS, those are the top. And, of course, you can scroll on down. There's pages of these ranked in order. I like the momentum list. I go to that every single day. The daily A-plus momentum list. Today there's 107 A-plus ranked stocks. Sema Bay, Dorian, Snapchat, believe it or not, Palantir, Zscaler, Affirm Holdings, MicroStrategy, Wingstop. You know, Barry, we sold Wingstop too soon. I put in a line in the sand. It went below it. I sold it. It's been going up ever since. There's 107 today in the Roblox is there. Hibbett Sporting Goods. So that's another interesting one. And it just looks so much cleaner and better. It's still the same functionality. Nothing's changed. The functionality was invented in the beginning by myself taking a spreadsheet and my best friend Douglas doing the database work on it and writing the code that picked up all my formulas and did the ranking. I'm pretty proud.
You know, and imports the data. He imports the data too.
We go out and we upload the data every day. That's quite a process, and it does not take long. We know exactly what data we want. We know which data we need to run the formulas, and then of course that whole ranking process every day. I mean, it's a pretty powerful app. I plan on trying to get this out to the masses now that it's a little more polished than it was in the past. I think every investor in the world should have a Best Stocks Now app in their hands. Okay, just all kinds of things. So you can take a look at it. I want your feedback. Just go on there. You can text us, or I think there's contact us. You know, you can go to my website, GundersonCapital.com, and give me your comments, your feedback. And then the Apple app's going to look just like it, only, you know, in Apple form. And it's being submitted, and it's just a matter of getting the approval from Apple and flipping the switch. And then the Android one will be third. So I think it turned out good. It was hell to get to where we are today. It was hell, really was. But we're there. Okay, now, other stories in the market today. And there's still some big ones. A lot of people calling for the small caps. I see that prediction every year, though. And every year's different. I am seeing some rotation to small caps as the market broadens out. But you look back on this year, and it was another year for mega cap, heavily concentrated in about 10 stocks. And we are looking for subtle rotation, but I have seen some pretty good movement. Our emerging growth portfolio has had a really good month. It's mostly made up of small cap stocks. Now, let's sort on small caps with the Best Stocks Now app. We've got Fair Isaac, Lemonade, Roku. Some of these, I have to check my small cap formula. Some of these have grown into mid caps here. GoDaddy, Palantir, Reliance Steel and Aluminum, Dexcom. Affirm Holdings, Zeta Global Holdings. These are some of the top-ranked small caps. So it's a powerful tool. It is a very powerful tool. And you've got one firm here saying, focus on small caps this coming year. And then they're talking about multiples here. I saw some talk, RBC Capital Markets. They think the P.E. ratio of the market is going to go up to 23. Not the forward P.E., but the P.E. ratio. And most people, like I say, the consensus target for the S&P is about 5,000 right now. RBC Capital's price target, 5,000, exactly. They think that the market has 10% upside potential, and they give you the formula and how they calculate that. They use the P.E. ratio. I use the forward P.E. ratio to calculate mines. All right, guess where Novo Nordisk is headed next, Barry? It just got approval in the U.S., of course, for their Wegovy. Then it got approval, Ozempic. Then it got approval in Europe. Now it's ready to make its Asian debut. Wow, Novo Nordisk, one of the great stocks in the market today. And they're ramping up production in France to meet the demand for the drug. Okay, we'll be right back. We'll look underneath the surface of the market a little bit here. You got to go. And welcome back here to the final segment of this Best Stocks Now show on this Black Friday, a very light volume day. There's definitely a trend in the market today. The trend is, there's not any really big movers one way or another. I mean, you're talking about some of the biggest winners are up a couple of percent. Some of the biggest losers are down a couple of percent. It's a pretty narrow gap in there. Not a lot of big swings, but there's definitely a move at least today on this November 24th out of some of the big winners of this year, meaning big tech, and into some of the overlooked stocks. And I would say there's another big factor that's driving that today, and it's the sell-off in the bond market. And when you get interest rates going up 5 or 6%, these high PE stocks, Barry, are so correlated to just the slightest movement in interest rates.
Yeah, pure interest rate man, risk there, right?
I don't think that's going to end anytime soon either. I think it's going to continue to be a theme. It's all about interest rates. But having said that, we should have a fairly favorable interest rate environment to back us up here in
at some point, right? I mean, you know, that's kind of, you know, in terms of, you know, whether interest rates go down, you know, tomorrow or 2 years from now, right? I think, you know, certainly interest rate expectations, right, seem to be, from where we're at, right, certainly, you know, seem to be that we'll be lower in the future. If you look at the CME, if you just go to the kind of CME group and see where the futures are in terms of, you know, future Fed either, you know, pauses, hikes, or decreases, right? As you get into, you know, just the first meeting or two of 2024, you can actually see where, you know, percentages of, you know, chances of 25% chance of a, you know, rate cut in, you know, the first two meetings of the year next year. So,
well, the pendulum has definitely swung from what's the prediction for another rate hike to what's the prediction for a rate cut. That's going to be the talk.
Right. It's kind of it's kind of where they're, you know, kind of staying where they're at is kind of the baseline case. If we use your Bank of America an example of
seven different possibilities for next year,
right? Quote unquote, the base case, right, is staying where you're at, And then the other two cases in this example would be a hike or a decrease.
Yes.
And everything is on the, of those two, either a hike or a decrease, everything's on the decrease side.
Yes.
So if we look at the S&P 500 today, you're seeing this, what I'm talking about. The number one stock in the S&P, Nordstrom's. Okay, so you have a heavily sold-off stock.
That was your one of the worst stocks a couple of days ago.
Yeah,
when we were
just
talking
horrible
about
report. Right. A family that once ruled Seattle, owning the Seattle, I think it was the Seattle Supersonics, the basketball, and now Amazon has just eaten the Nordstrom's lunch right up there in Seattle. And Nordstrom's is up 6.1% today. How times have changed. The fertilizer stocks, which are very low PE stocks. CF Industries is up 3%. Corteva's up 2%. Mosaic's up 2.3%. Am I going to go running back into the fertilizer stocks? They've been good stocks. I remember some really huge runs to the upside in the fertilizer stocks.
Yeah, Nutrien, Mosaic. Remember, we referred to ourselves as fertilizer analysts for a little while.
That's
there.
Right. A lot of other people say, but they don't use the word fertilizer.
Insert now, your own synonym.
The other one that's been beaten down this year, lithium. So I see the lithium stocks, Albemarle rising. Now, we don't know, really, where the action will go. Now, a lot of the action is determined by where the institutions go, where the big money goes. And obviously, the big money was parked, started moving into the growth stocks late last year when they started sensing a change in the wind of the Fed. And they definitely went to the growth stocks, and then they just kept getting more and more concentrated in those growth stocks, more and more. Will they start to move away from the growth stocks? Well, that's why being on top of the market every day and watching it and having a Geiger counter, like the Best Stocks Now app, helping me detect and looking at these movements every day, we're looking for new trends to develop. One day doesn't really mean anything. Other than it's interesting to watch. But, you know, you start getting a week or two of sell-off in the big stocks that were so popular this year, then you start to get something meaningful that could mean something. A trend that's definitely, and I'll see it in the top-ranked stocks. Right now there's 525 B-plus stocks. So that tells you we were at 100 about 6 weeks ago, when the Dow was on the brink of creating a death cross, that's when I got down to like that was the low point here. You know, that's when they were really afraid. That's when he was talking real hawkish, and the market was in a very dangerous point at that point in time. And now we're back to 525 B plus. Rank stocks, which means the market has spread out from those 14 or 15 major stocks that have carried the market. Now, the stocks that are down today, Google down 1.4, NVIDIA down 1.2. These are stocks that have led the way this year. Apple down 1%. So that's just it's hard to make much of anything in the trading today. Very few people are involved in the market today. There's a little bit going on. Now, I'll be writing the newsletter just like any other week. We don't take any weeks off with the newsletter. And you'll get two free weeks by going to our website at GundersonCapital.com. You have to look and see how did you do this year in the market? How did your money manager do? You can compare that with our portfolios, which I publish. I want to be as transparent as possible, for good, for better, or for worse. And I put my neck on the line with my market call. I give you a full technical analysis of where we're at in all these different sectors and whatnot, and what we currently own, and compare that with how you're doing. If you think maybe we could help you in 2024, set up an appointment with us, 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST, or just start with the newsletter and peruse it and compare how we've done with how you've done. Get 2 free weeks of the newsletter at GundersonCapital.com. GundersonCapital.com. Have a great day and weekend, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.